Hi, my name's Trevor. It's my privilege to read the Bible passage to you this morning. We're reading from Romans 5, verses 12 to 21. And it was listed in my Bible as death through Adam, life through Christ. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Well, thanks, Trevor. And again, Happy New Year to you all. I hope you had a fun way of bringing it in somehow. We did two types of people a little earlier. I want to do a little bit more of that because I think New Year's divides us a number of times into two types of people as well. So, are you the kind of person who loves the fireworks? Or you think, no, come on, they take too much, so much money. Imagine what we could do with all that money. And what kind of person are you? Fireworks or that? Not so sure. We have it, yeah, mostly fireworks, but if you're not. Well, actually, we know the answer to this one already. Are you a New Year's resolution kind of person or no? We know that most of us are really over this way. Are you the kind of person who stays up to midnight to see the new year in or go to bed really early? Yeah, I'm definitely that side. Something has changed in me. I'm no longer a young person, I think that's what it says. There are two types. We keep dividing the world into two types of people, don't we? You'll probably notice that when Trevor read the Bible here, though, again, our Bible passage says there are two types of people, but it's not about New Year's and our bedtimes. It's about something far more serious. So, we're doing a series here at church. We're calling it Lives of Faith. We're going through the book of Romans. We've already heard in Romans that now we've been justified and we've been made right with God, not by doing anything ourselves, but simply by faith, by trusting Jesus that he has done everything for us already. And so now, Romans keeps going on, it's telling us, what does it look like to live this life of faith? What does that mean for us in real life? And today we hear, actually, that there are two types of people and the consequences for which type of person we are, it has massive implications. It is eternity shaping. So, the Bible says there are two types of people. There's Adam, and there's Jesus. Or really, not that there's two types of people, but really there are two people, Adam and Jesus, and we're with one or the other. Although actually, the Bible says we're all in Adam's group. We're all with Adam. You might actually notice this in verse 12. I'm going to read verse 12 out again. If you've got it there, leave your Bibles open. There, Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that's talking about Adam, and death came through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. You see, Adam is the first person in the Bible there. We heard in the All Ages spot, we remember him because he was the one who first sinned, he disobeyed, and because of him, death is now in the world. And it says there that we are all with Adam. We're in his group because we do the same thing he does. We sin like Adam, and so death has spread to us like it did for Adam. We're all with Adam because we sin and we die just like Adam did. But actually, the passage goes on to say something more here. We're also with Adam because his sin counts against us. Adam sins and is held responsible for his sin, but in fact, all of us are held responsible because of his sin. That's what it says in verse 15. Have a look at verse 15 again, where it says that the many died by the trespass of the one man. You see, he was the one who trespassed, but many died. Or it's there and again in verse 18, where we see that one trespass, Adam's sin, resulted in condemnation for all people. We're with Adam not simply because we sin and die like he does, but we're with Adam because his sin is counting for us, counting against us too. Now, when you hear that, don't you just want to jump up and down and say, no, that can't be right. He did it, not me. Why am I held responsible for this? That's unfair. And yet, I suspect we kind of do get this. We do believe that what people did a long time ago, well, we can still be held responsible for it. So, there's a great time where this happened in the Australian community. If you remember back to the 13th of February in 2008, who knows what they were doing that day? Probably not, you know, it's a long time ago. We're talking about 18 years ago, so some of us may not even remember that day at all. But on that day, our Prime Minister at the time, Kevin Rudd, he got up in Parliament and he apologised. And you think, well, what did he apologise for? He was apologising for the stolen generation. See, there was a time throughout the 50s, 60s and 70s in particular when the Australian government had a policy where they would take away Indigenous children from their families and give them to white people to raise. A horrible blight on our country's history. But the thing is, when this was happening, Kevin Rudd was not the Prime Minister at the time. He wasn't part of the government. In fact, I'm not even sure if he was old enough to vote. So why did he apologise? Like, he did nothing, right? But this was a moment where our nation recognised that even now, in some way, we're responsible for what our forebearers did. We can inherit their guilt. The sins of those who've gone before us can count against us, and we need to do something about that. That's what the Bible is talking about here with Adam. We inherit his sin and his guilt. It's counted against us. So all of us are with Adam. And this is not a good thing that we're with Adam. Because I mean, just take a quick glance through the passage and you see what it's like to be with Adam, what it leads to. In verses 12 and 15, being with Adam means we die. Verse 16, it means that we're under God's judgment. Verse 16 and 18, it means that God will condemn us. In verse 17, being with Adam means that we're under death's reign. In verse 21, it means sin reigns in death. Like, this is a very bleak picture. Not a bright and happy future here. One full of death, judgment, condemnation. Have you ever seen the movie Gran Torino? A show of hands, who's seen this movie? Some of us have, yep. For those of you who haven't, I apologise, I'm going to give a spoiler here. But to be fair, the movie has been out since 2008, so you've had a long time to watch it. Towards the end of the movie, the main character, who's portrayed by Clint Eastwood there, the main character actually dies. And in the final scene, his last will and testament is being read out by a lawyer. And so all the family gathers around and they all want to know what each one is going to get. Who's going to get the house? Who's going to get the car? Who's going to get the money? And they're all greatly disappointed because actually, in the end, Walt doesn't give any of his stuff to them. He leaves it to others. And you can imagine the disappointment that's on their face, especially the grandkids who think they're in for something good here. They're disappointed because they didn't get any inheritance. But can I tell you about something that's worse? It's getting an inheritance that is no good at all. That's what we get from our great ancestor, Adam. He gives us an inheritance, but it is no good at all. We inherit from him sin, judgment, condemnation, death. It's bleak, isn't it, friends? It's very bleak. And we need to feel the weight of this. See, so often in Australian life at the moment, I think we want to kind of push anything bad or anything hard. We want to push those things far away from us. But we need to hear this because our future hangs on it. There is no hope for us if we stay with Adam. There is no redemption. There is death, judgment, condemnation. It's a bleak part of the Bible, isn't it? But of course, I've only been reading half of this passage, right? Because there are two types of people. In verse 14, we read that Adam is a pattern of the one to come. If we're with Adam, we inherit sin, judgment, death. But there's another one who gives a completely different inheritance. He's like the polar opposite of Adam, a second type of person. See, there are two types of people. All of us are with Adam, but all of us can be with Jesus. See, there's one similar thing between Jesus and Adam, and it's this. That the life of the person we're with has an impact on us, has consequences for us. You see this very clearly in verse 15. Just have a look at verse 15 again there. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? You see, one man affects the many. And with Adam, that's not a good thing. But with Jesus, it's an amazing thing. And just have a look again at some of the things that we get if we're with Jesus. What's it like if we're with Jesus? Well, in verse 15, it says that he brings not trespass, but a gift, but grace. Or verse 16, being with Jesus means not judgment and condemnation, but justification. God declaring over our lives that we are not guilty. In verse 17, it means not death reigning, but righteousness and life reigning instead. In verse 18, with Adam, his trespass leads to condemnation, but with Jesus, his righteous act, his obedience, results in justification and life. Verse 19, Adam's disobedience led to us being made sinners, but Jesus' obedience leads us to being made righteous, not because we suddenly become perfect, but because we have his righteousness. Verse 21, with Adam, sin reigns in death, but with Jesus, grace reigns through righteousness, and it brings life to us. You see, this is the complete opposite, isn't it? From Adam, we inherit sin, judgment, condemnation, and death. But with Jesus, we inherit grace and justification and righteousness. and life. Adam brings disaster. Jesus brings abundant blessing. Being with Adam gives us a bleak future. Being with Jesus is amazing, beyond belief. Total opposites. And there's like an overabundance in Jesus' work. He is excessively good. So just take a look at verse 17 with me for a moment. I'm going to read it out to you. Verse 17 says this: "For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" You see, Jesus brings an abundance. He says, "How much more?" And it's there in verse 15 as well. How much more? You could read this and think, you know, well, maybe Adam, like if Adam brings us minus 100,000, then kind of Jesus might bring us plus 100,000 or maybe plus 100,001. But it's not like that at all, right? Because Jesus, he overcomes all the bad that Adam brings. And then on top of that, he brings so much more good as well. How much more? And if Adam brings minus 100,000, and Jesus brings like plus infinity and beyond. But like, imagine one day you get a call in the morning and someone on the other end, it's a lawyer, you don't know, never heard of him, but they say, you know, there's been the five richest people in the world overnight, they've just died. And you'll never believe this, but they were long lost relatives of yours. And each of them have left all of their wealth and everything they have to you now. And so it's all yours. I mean, that would be like good in some way, right? You think, well, that's amazing. Being with Jesus is kind of like that, except it's just even better again. Because if you inherit all the money in the world, how much of that can you take past your death? Not a cent. But with Jesus, what he brings us is not just good in this life. He brings us what is good into 100,000 years into eternity and beyond. You see, there are two types of people. All of us are with Adam, but all of us can be with Jesus. All of us can switch over and change allegiance, and this is better by far. Because there are two types of people, and only two types of people, friends. Adam and those who are with him, and Jesus and those who are with him. The thing is, we always want there to be more than just two types of people, don't we? I noticed this before with some of the questions. Some people were putting hands up in two directions. So if I were to ask you, are you a summer person or a winter person? How many people want to say, no, I'm a spring person and an autumn person? Lots of us, right? Or if I say, are you a sweet person or a savory person? How many of us want to say both? I love it all. Or if I ask you, are you a Coke person or a Pepsi person? How many want to say neither? I don't want any of that. Isn't it the same with the Bible? I mean, it's giving us two options here, you know. There's Jesus and there's Adam. But really, there's more than just two types of people in the world, isn't there? Surely there's got to be. And look, there's a sense in which that's true, right? Like, just think about it. Simply because someone is not a Christian doesn't mean they are the same as everybody else who is not a Christian. Some of them will be Buddhists, some of them will be footy fans, some will be engineers, some will be crafty people, some will be foodies, and so on and so on and so on. And the same goes for people who are Christians, right? Not every Christian you meet is going to be exactly the same as the next. So there's a sense in which you can never say there are only two types of people. But what the Bible is doing here, it's not trying to fit us into a little box that describes everything about who we are. Instead, it's presenting a reality to us, a spiritual reality. We either stay with Adam, we continue to live rejecting God, telling him that we'll run our lives our own way. God, no, you can just take your advice and keep that to yourself, thank you. And if that's the case, we inherit what Adam got. We inherit his sin and his death. Or we switch allegiance to Jesus. We put our trust in him that he will make us right with God. We start to bring our lives under him. And we inherit his righteousness, his obedience, and life. Which is not to say that we become righteous or perfect in every way. But it's like what with Adam, we inherited his sin. With Jesus, we inherit his righteousness, that now counts for us. So when it comes, friends, to our spiritual state in life, there are only two types of people, Adam and Jesus. Of course, the question that a lot of us have at this point then is to go, well, which one am I? Who am I with here? But the purpose of our passage is actually not to get us asking, who am I with? That might be a good question to pose for yourself. But this passage, this was actually first written in a letter to people who are Christians, people who are believers. They already know who they're with. They're with Jesus. And so this passage is here actually to show them that they can be certain, assured about their future. You see, last week we were in the first part of chapter 5. And in the first part of chapter 5, it said that believers have a great hope for the future. It says that we'll be saved from God's wrath. We'll have peace with God, that we've been reconciled to our God. And one day we'll share in God's glory with him. An amazing, incredible future ahead. But that raises a question. How can I know? How can I be certain? How can I be sure about this? Our passage this week shows us why this is a solid, certain, sure hope. It's not wishful thinking, but we have confidence about the future because it doesn't depend on us. It depends entirely on Jesus and what he has already done. The work of Jesus is effective. He does what needs to be done. So our destiny is settled with him. If we stayed with Adam, our destiny would be settled by Adam, and that's not a good thing. But if we come to Jesus, if we be with Jesus, our destiny with him is settled. It is fixed. It is sorted out. It is set in stone and will not change. So we don't need to be uncertain or unsure because we inherit this future from Jesus. So, be confident, friends. If you are with Jesus, this is your end. This is your future. Life. Reigning in life. Justified in Jesus, made righteous in Jesus, and so life with Jesus. Be confident about your eternal future. So here's the question I want to leave hanging for you then. What is it going to look like for you in 2026 to live with that confidence? If we're confident that this world is not all that there is, if we're assured of a better life to come, how will that shape how you live your life, how you'll make decisions, how you'll prioritize things throughout 2026. Actually, there's a second thing, a big implication this passage brings to us too. This passage actually shows us how to see and understand the world around us. And we've been talking about categories today, right? Two types of people, dog people and cat people. Dessert people and dinner people. But often we don't go through life thinking, oh, I reckon that person's a dog person, that person's a cat person. But I think often in life we do go through life categorizing people in different ways. There's some people in my life, they just cause me heaps of stress. And there's other people in my life who make life easier. There's some people in my life who are just really successful and others who aren't successful. There's some people in my life who I love being around and others who I just find it really hard. There are some people in my life I'm doing better than them. And there's other people in my life that they're doing better than me. Whatever it is, I don't, what are the categories that you use as you look out at the world? Well, today here in the Bible, God has given us the category that really matters. Are those that we know with Adam or with Jesus? This is the category that really matters because the answer to this determines each person's eternal destiny. So there's a challenge in our passage today, isn't there? A challenge that provokes us toward mission, towards wanting to see people be with Jesus. So as I finish up today, I just wanted to encourage us really quickly with three mission things for 2026. One of these I want to encourage you to do on our own, and then two of them I want to be things that we do together as a church. So firstly, this is the one thing we do on our own. It's prayer. Can I encourage you, friends, be praying for those in your life who aren't yet with Jesus. One of the ways we've been encouraging you to do this over the last year or so is pray two for two prayers. You've probably heard us talk about this before if you've been around for a while. The idea here is that we choose two friends, two people we know, two people whose lives we're kind of often seeing each other, bumping into each other. And for 2 minutes each day, we pray for them, the same two friends. We bring them before the Lord, praying that God would be at work in their life so that they might be with Jesus. Why not make two for two prayers a part of your normal daily life in 2026? Second thing, and this is one we can do together as a church, why not help out with the letterbox drop? I mentioned this earlier, Dave's going to be up the back there, but this is just a really simple way to be involved. Let our neighbours know we're here, invite them to consider God in 2026. Again, on your way out, see Dave. He'll help you sign up to an area. We'll give you everything you need. But the final thing, again, this one's one we want to do together as a church. We call it the Life Series. Now, if you've been around for a while, you've probably heard us talk about the Life Series, but this is something we want, especially for people who are just really new to being believers or not really sure yet about following Jesus. We're going to be running Life again during 2026. In fact, the first time we're running it is coming up in February, starting on the 10th of February. Now look, can I tell you, if you're someone who's here as a believer, the great thing about the Life Series, I think, is that you don't need to be the guru who has all the answers. All you have to do is come along with your friend and look, just be a friend to them while you're there. Now, someone else will give a talk about what about Jesus. Someone else will answer the tough questions. You just get to sit beside your friend while they're figuring out who Jesus is and figuring out if they want to follow him too. Let me encourage you, friends. I'll include me in this. I want to encourage myself. Make the most of the Life Series this year. And see, friends, there are two types of people. And it is by far better to be with Jesus because he gives us certainty and confidence in what is to come. That has to change the way that we see the world, doesn't it? I'm going to pray to God and ask him to help us so that it would. Let me pray. Our great God in heaven, our Father who loves us, we thank you for Jesus. Please, please hear our prayers, Father, because we want to see the world in the way that you see the world. We want to see people as with Jesus or not. We want to see the confidence that we can have by being in Jesus. And we want to pray, Father, that this would spur us on to mission in 2026. thank you for the confidence you have given us, the certainty and assurance you've given us about what is to come, because it doesn't depend on us, but all on Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.